Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. We are at the Mellow Mushroom right across the street from Pinnacle Bank Arena. There's an ambulance right across the street from us right now, and that ambulance is here to pick me up because I am the world's worst person when it comes to technology and dealing with that type of stuff. And I about gave myself a heart attack trying to get our technology hooked together here. But we are here, and we are ready to go here. To my left, Mr. Nate Wall of the Wooden Pyramid of Success podcast. Across the way, Latheon Brown, head girls basketball coach at Centura High School. And then from the panhandle, from the verge of the panhandle. Are you technically in the panhandle?
Within the bowels of the panhandle.
Within the bowels of the panhandle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Tyler Shaw, head girls basketball coach at Sydney High School in Sydney, Nebraska. We're at the Mellow Mushroom. Come check it out. Mike does a great job of taking care of us. We'll be having some pizza here. Carter Plum is at the end of the table here. He will be giving us our pizza review of the day once we get our order in here, and we are excited and ready to go. So, guys, how are we doing? Nate, how are we doing?
Great, great morning in basketball. So,
yep. Latheon?
I can't hear on it, but
don't worry about the audio. Just roll with it.
Everything.
Yeah, it's all about the microphone. Sorry.
I made the travel out from Caro today. It was a little bit snowy, but could have been a lot worse, right?
Could have been a lot worse, yeah. So, yeah, the pen and a napkin budget needs a little update here.
What you've got going on. I was just plugging something into the ceiling a second ago, so I think it's, I like it. I love what you have here.
It is unique.
It's fantastic.
It is unique with what we do here. So, guys, you know, we're at the end of the season. T. Shaw, less than 24 hours after his season is over. I make the emergency call to the bullpen. I feel like, Shooter Beck in the 98 game to get into the wild card, and he's throwing 78 mile per hour fastballs. He looks like the guy from Major League, where he's so beat that he just can't. He can barely,
I'm fine. It's all good. You said too soon in the text. I was like, not fine.
It's the way you roll.
It's how we roll.
Guys, we're at the end of the year. Coaches are going to be ending. How do you bounce back? I think that's a key thing. I mean, the season is exhausting. Late nights, early mornings. A lot of stress, a lot of staring at the ceiling, that type of stuff.
Yep, blank stares.
You know, how do you come back from it? Latheon, go ahead, get us going here.
Drive to Lincoln and watch. I guess is my answer to that. It's never enough. I don't know. Try to decompress for a little while, but I enjoy coming up here with my assistant coaches and watching hoops. If you're not playing in the tournament, and bringing some of the kids up if you get a chance, and that's about it.
Yeah,
take Boys State week off. I don't always come up here. I come watch girls, and then maybe if there's a few games on Saturday and next weekend, I'll be up here watching.
Yeah. So. You're still AD, right?
Yeah, I'm full-time. They call me the dean over there at Centura, so that's what I get to rock with. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you got a little bit of downtime as an AD because you're not setting up for track meets. You know, spring sports are getting started, but you're not.
We actually just had an impromptu conference speech meet before this week started. So, you know, we played in a district final on Friday, and then I'm hosting our Centura speech meet that Saturday morning, so the break doesn't really exist. You just kind of rock with it, but you know, if you win, I'm just sitting there watching film all day on Saturday anyway, so it's not all bad. Just busy all the time.
T. Shaw, less than 24 hours out, what was the process like last night and moving through everything
after the game?
Sure.
The process,
yeah.
Bourbon. I went out to eat with my wife and daughter. My sister-in-law and future brother-in-law were there.
Was it Arby's?
It was not Arby's.
Okay.
I went over to another establishment and had some poutine and some sandwiches, and then we went over back to the graduate, to that nice little pub there to just
decompress.
I mean, you know, I'm sure I had the thousand yard stare.
Sure.
But it was nice to see him, and it's nice to talk about something that's not basketball related, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes so perfect sense.
Yes. My family's awesome at just being supportive and just like, hey, sweet, we got dad back. All right.
Yeah. Coach Wall, I mean, it's been a year or two since you've had to go through that process. I mean, how do you get going, or how do you recover?
Yeah, I think it's just important that coaches, I think a week, you know, like a week, you got to just go watch games and not necessarily think about your team. You know, just enjoy basketball for what it is and the great environment that it is. But I know how coaches think, and so it's not much longer than a week, and you're already gearing up for the next one.
Yep.
I'm sure if you check your email inboxes today, you probably have team camp information already hitting there, especially some of the great camps. I see the reaction there from Coach Shaw. And so, I mean, and you can't let that get away too long, because all the good camps will be taken away, and you have to start thinking about that, because I know my goal as a head coach was by April 1st, I got to have this plan so I can start communicating this to my team, because my team's going to start thinking about like their summer jobs and their vacations and stuff. So,
Yeah, you can't
let it get away for too long.
I would wait until Monday at least. I would at least let Death's Door.
The track starts on Monday for me though. So,
oh
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We're rolling.
You got it. You got it rolling. So, how long does it take? I know how long it used to take me. How long does it take you to start thinking about next year?
I'm right now.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm not saying this or gonna, I'm not lying. I was up at 4:30 this morning, just laying in my daughter's apartment, just staring at the ceiling, thinking about our personnel coming back. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't know. I was just like, all right, who's coming back? And
where do we put this piece?
And oh, maybe we should try this, and maybe we put these pieces in, and I don't know. I think that's just kind of maybe I'm a weirdo.
But no,
I bet you're the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are the same way.
After, you know, closing up shop up at Crofton last week, you know, you get on the bus ride. We got a 3-hour ride home anyway, so put the headphones in, listen to some music, and try plotting for next year. And in my boat, I'm really excited because I have a lot of young talent. My best player is a freshman and sophomore, and I got a talent coming in eighth grade, so just kind of chomping at the bit, ready to go. But and then travel ball and all that stuff. So it never really stops. But
yeah,
I think there is something to be said about that week off. Like, you can think all you want, but a little less action, a little more thought. And I think sitting up here in PBA, Devaney, and just thinking, watching hoops, talking to all the people that are in the same shoes as you are throughout the week, it's really nice to do that and network.
Well, you guys are your head coaches. And so I know it was like as a head coach as well. So that's why you have JV and freshman teams. You're always thinking about next year, you know, you're always planning, and you guys are development coaches. So, you know, your vision can't, as a head coach, you can't just be thinking about tomorrow and this year. You have to constantly be making decisions that are best for the program and not for just right now.
Yeah.
So it's you got it's program over team and team over individual. So
I would probably, you know, it's probably 2 or 3 hours, you know, like if we lost, I mean, I'm not kidding you, like we kind of had this tradition during district play. We would go to the same Applebee's for half price apps.
Yes.
Because, you know, Catholic school, you're on a budget, you know. That was a joke. Nobody picked up on that.
I got it.
Okay, all right.
Not making fun of Applebee's as a society.
I know, man.
Restaurant. I'm so tired of people.
I'm fired at
Applebee's. I kind of forget they exist. We got one at Grand Island, and I'll drive past it every once in a while. Like,
keep it going.
Don't forget that in Sydney, because we got one, and like it was like, I mean, a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yeah, so, that's where I take my 2.5-year-old. You know, you go in there, it's gonna be a little chaotic, maybe. There's not always that many people anymore.
I'm tired of all the jokes about Applebee's and the memes.
Yeah, we got to tweet at NSA private schools, Marty, on that one. That's what they say about Applebee's and a Catholic school.
We would sit there, and when I was at Scott, and it'd be me and Mark Palacek and Sarah Goodwin and Ritz, and You just start. I mean, it's not an hour, hour and a half after you're done. It's like, and I remember one year we were sitting there and we had been all 2-3 zone. Yeah, for a year and a half. Jim Boeheim, if he would have came to one of our games, he would have been crying. Just there just been a little tear coming out of the corner of his eye. We gotta play band next year. We gotta get back to man. We can't do this anymore, you know. And you know, just those type of things. And I'll never forget that was, like I said, couldn't have been more than 2 hours after our season was over, and we were thinking about what we're gonna do the next year around, you know, to get us 2 more wins, hopefully,
yeah, to the know. Next level, yeah, or
you know. So I think that, what are some of the things outside of basketball that you guys like to do to help decompress a little bit, you know, in the sense of, we know the season's over and that stinks, but now you got to do uniform hand in, and you got to plan the banquet, and you gotta look for tea. I'm putting gray hair into T. Shaw's sideburns here as we speak. He's we could get that ambulance back here if you need it.
I know,
what are some things that you like to do away from basketball, where you know you have your basketball responsibilities, you got to do your job, but man, can I breathe for a little while as well? And here's some things that I miss doing that I haven't been able to do for 3, 4, 5 months or so, that'll kind of put you back into that situation.
I'll go, just being with my family. And you know, I have 2 kids and they're out of the house, and one's down here at dental school and one's at Colorado Springs. So I spend a lot of time coaching track and going to my son's track meets. So that's kind of my thing. I would love to play golf, but that usually doesn't happen until maybe July.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe July. Maybe a little bit in May before we start. I don't know if you guys do June basketball, July volleyball kind of thing.
How we rock.
That's how you guys do it too.
Yep, absolutely.
So yeah. I like doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just hanging out. Like, I like doing this, honestly. Yeah. Like, stuff like this, because we all kind of go through similar experiences, and just talking to people and sharing similar experiences after a basketball season or any season that you coach is just, I don't know if it's therapeutic, you know, shared suffering kind of thing, or absolutely. Something like that. You know what I mean? Anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, as the young guy at the table, and this might shock you, but I really like to garden, so it works out really well. Basketball season ends, and then it's kind of my meditation. I start growing my seedlings in the basement. It's a whole thing. My wife gives me crap about it, but I raise my own garden in the backyard, and that kind of gives me a little bit of peace. It's something, it's just busy. You got something else to think about. It's also productive and hopefully healthy. It's better than the other alternative that I dabble in sometimes, with the beer cans in the basement. So I'll try to do that.
Sounds delightful.
It is. It
really, you know,
is.
Who was another prominent gardener? Krzyzewski.
Really?
Krzyzewski had this I read it in one of the books about him, but he had this massive garden that he would tinker around in.
Wow.
In his backyard.
Yeah.
And it's, I
got one in town, and I can and do the whole nine. It's just, you know, kind of grew up doing that, and it's just zen, I guess.
Yeah. I would come to your garden, right? In the midst of the summer.
Yes.
What would be the one thing you would covet the most, and the one thing you would try to get rid of?
Ooh, that's, now I'm getting nerdy with it, because I've started with it. So I buy my seeds online now, and I've spent way too much money on garden seeds. So I'm going to have some interesting stuff this year.
A dragon fruit. I love my dragon fruit. I'm a big dragon fruit guy.
If I could grow it in central Nebraska, I would try it. I love okra. I love pickled okra. I love fried okra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okra's good.
And my Bloody tomatoes. Berries. Yes, yeah, tomatoes. Bloody I make all my tomato sauces, everything. Stuff I try to get rid of is zucchinis, because I planted way too many of those last year. And I knew
it was going to be zucchini. Everybody.
I've been giving them away. Zucchini. Yeah. Free zucchinis out of school during the summer.
You can make muffins with it.
Make flour, apparently. I'm not that not that adventurous. But yeah, I'd be getting rid of zucchinis for sure. So.
Well, I learned something here today. Yeah, this is beyond a doubt. Yeah. I've learned something.
What's that college that is the fighting okras? Is that Santa? No, Santa Cruz is the banana slug.
They're the banana slugs.
But there's some college, they're the fighting okras.
It's got to be in the South.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. That's going to bother me, though.
Can you look that up?
Google that, Carter.
The fighting okras.
That's the fighting okras.
Basketball podcast.
Yeah. I think it might be in Oklahoma.
We have delved into the fighting okras.
Well, I asked the question. I had to. I mean,
the bigger question is why the fighting okras at all?
Yeah. Well, hey,
we got to find out.
Esterville Midgets and Sheldon Orabs in Iowa.
There's the beat diggers somewhere out in your area, right?
Brush, Colorado, is the beet diggers.
Okay.
Yes.
Sugar beets. Because they have sugar refineries there, and they grow
sugar beets. Delta
in that
State.
Area.
That's a real
Mississippi.
Thing.
Mississippi.
Wow, I learned
Delta State,
today.
South, you guys hit it.
Man.
Well, yeah. Don't put us in jeopardy.
But, like, I get the analogy, like, coaches wanting a garden because, like, you want to grow and cultivate and watch it develop.
And
so, like, I totally get that.
And that was the tie that the author made with Krzyzewski was building that, you know, and you know, I get the question a lot, you know, how's life without coaching? And yeah, you know, and one of the things that I really miss is the process of, okay, here's this group of kids on November 15th. What can you get them to look like by February 15th? Yep. You know, and that growth process and that just that day to day going to practice, getting 1% better, watching this growth here. How do we change this? What adjustments do we need to make to add more water, take away a little water, add more, you know, I mean, all these things, which, you know, Farmer Brown here. Literally Farmer Brown.
I have a pair of bibs. I do. I do.
Oh, yeah, you did. My wife, yeah, you're funny, but, well, yeah. I think she thinks she's funny.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong, Marty. Like, I don't know if you guys can relate, but you're working with your team start of the year, and you know there's a skill set or something that you need to see refined or get better to be successful down the stretch, and you work on it day in and day out, and you don't always see it come to fruition right away, and then all of a sudden something clicks, and you see it take place on the floor, and it's kind of like a garden, man. You water every day, you weed every day, you don't see nothing. And all of a sudden, oh, there's a 2-foot zucchini underneath that plant. That's sweet.
Yeah.
So it's very similar.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Compound interest.
Yes.
Absolutely it is. So, Coach Wall, what was your decompression go-to?
You know, I've told other coaches this as well. We've talked about it on our podcast. I think you and your spouse, you have to be intentional about reserving time together during the basketball season. Yeah. And I know that's not totally your question about what do you do after the season, but like during the season, like Wednesday night was kind of our night because there's nothing happening Wednesday nights. You can guarantee there's no games to go to and there's no games you can scout. And so we always, each season kind of had a show that we would watch, you know, highly recommend, like it was Modern Family back in the day, and then it turned into Designated Survivor, and then it was a bit like Big Sky, but you know, now it's kind of different being out of coaching per se. You know, I still got youth teams that I'm working with as well, but kind of like you, Coach Brown, you like to grow and cultivate and develop stuff. You know, for me, it's the youth teams, but also I've dug in really hard to the area of like culture, like anything I can get my hands on, books or on Twitter, X, whatever. I just read that about culture. So I'm kind of developing right now a culture handbook on athletic programs right now that I'm writing because I'm sitting next to my favorite author right here, Marty Plum.
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Yeah.
That's not shameless of his podcast.
Well played.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Appropriate plug.
Yeah.
But after 20 years of coaching and 15 as a head coach, and I've been through a lot of good things and I've seen a lot of really bad things as well, I'm just writing stuff how I think an athletic program should function culturally wise. And I mean, I don't know what I'll do with it. Maybe I'll publish it sometime, but it's just been a collection of all the different readings I've done and put that together. And I know I saw something today on Twitter that Shaka Smart hands out a 26-page handbook on culture that he sends out to all his recruits that he wants. And so kind of along those same lines. And so that's really the stuff I'm picking up here at the state tournament is like body language. And we had that conversation. I wonder how this girl's going to respond to adversity right here.
Yeah.
Those are the things I'm picking up on.
Literally just in this last game.
Because now I believe more than ever, culture is everything. It's everything that you do. I played my last high school game in 2001. It wasn't nearly as important as I think it is right now today. And everything you do, it's kind of like a checking account. You're either adding to it or you're taking away. Your checking account never stays the same. It's kind of like your culture. It never stays the same. It's either getting better or it's getting worse.
So why the shift? You know, I mean, you brought up something. Now you're the pup at the table. We've got seasoned and experienced here, and we've got kind of middle-aged guy here over here. But why the shift? You know, it's because as a Gen Xer, I'll just generously.
Not a boomer. Your son called you
a boomer.
Yes. Somebody's walking home tonight. But you know, we just showed up and played and did. You know, we didn't have culture building exercises. We didn't have, and I'm not. Would we have been better for it? Absolutely, we would have. But it just wasn't. It wasn't. I never remember any of our coaches at any point, anywhere, at any time saying, "Here's our culture of our program, and here's our step by step." You know, so why the shift? And I'm just curious. What do you guys think? I mean, you know, off the cuff.
I think there's too many things to do.
You're right.
There's just too many things to do. There's too many.
Kids are exposed to too much poison.
There's just like a lot of distractions. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, like, I guess if back in the day, back in my day, you know, but like there, you couldn't, if you wanted your opinions in the world, you'd put it in a newspaper and it might get published. Now you can do it within 2.2 seconds, and whether they're good opinions or bad opinions, and then everybody can read those opinions. And I think it's just so much information and so much of that out in the world that maybe, I don't know if distraction the right word, but it's just, and by the way, there's awesome stuff about it as well.
Yeah.
The ability to, you know, look at these great things we're doing, celebrate, you know, this stuff.
It's just like anything. 90 to 95% of it is awesome. It's the toxic 5% that gets all the attention and all the negativity.
And I don't know if that's the reason. I mean, like, I can't explain why, like, numbers are down and participation in sports and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Girls sports, basketball, certain, absolutely, you know, certain teams not being able to field a team and things like that. And maybe it's other sports or I offered no insight right there, I guess. I have no solutions.
What do you think, Lathia?
Yeah, I know, you know, culture is what you believe in, but also what you allow in every, like, and that's the biggest leap in my program from 11 and 12 team that won and won a state title the next year was the culture aspect of these little things matter all the time, right? And that was something I had to learn as a young coach. If I let one of these things slide with these kids, they might take it a mile and a half.
Yeah, but I think, do.
You know, in girls basketball in the state of Nebraska, if you don't have an attractive, fun culture, I mean, it is a tough sell to get kids out. We've seen it. I've seen it throughout I can't tell you how many games in JV alone that we were either not able to play or we were only playing two quarters because that team didn't have enough bodies.
Yeah.
Right. And that there makes it even tougher to keep kids out. Right. Not even no wrongdoing on our end. We got the numbers. Yeah. We can't play the game. And these kids only get to play 2 8-minute quarters and that's all they get. So I think we have a dynamic issue of low enrollment, but the talent gap is definitely there. And, you know, your skill development at the top end is so awesome. And you got all these teams. Like, just, I would love to study one-win teams at some point in time this year, too. Because we played a one-win team in Loomis. Had a lot of grit, a lot of heart, a lot of fight. And we ended up beating them by about 20. And then later, about a week later, they played another one-win team, and they won by 30. So the talent gap's not just at the top of, you know, at the state tournament. It's throughout the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Right. And so trying to keep kids interested in your program and continuing to get better, it's tough and it's an art for sure.
I mean, it's not any one thing. So like I'm a first grade teacher, but I know I see at the elementary level, I'm seeing kids that just they don't have everything they need to have when they come to school every day to learn. Not learn effectively, but just be able to learn. And so, I mean, it's a whole gamut of things, like you said, and there's no one thing. But I do think that you know, that parents and families have changed and family values have changed as well. But it doesn't matter. Like I don't think it matters. We just have to, as coaches, be able to adjust. And if you're not discussing, I figured out way too late in my coaching career, if you're not addressing culture on an everyday basis, you're doing it wrong. You have to talk about it. You have to talk about what's helping and what's taking away from it. Yep. And I'll add on to what Coach Brown said there. Culture is everything you do. It's everything that you allow. And it's every single day.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Those are the three things.
Correct.
On my practice plan, I got this from Doc Rivers, FFCYE. FFYCE. Sorry. Fight for your culture every day.
Yep.
Fight for your culture every day.
Yep.
And you got to be human about it, you know, but you can't have any slippage at all. Because once you allow that slippage, and some people, let's be honest, when you don't allow slippage, some people don't like that.
Yeah.
No. Some people don't like being told, no, that's not good enough. No. You're not meeting our standard. No, your attitude sucks right now, and I'm calling you out on it, and you've got to be better because you can control that no matter who you are. And I think that sometimes, through no fault of our own, we have some kids in this kind of day and age that kind of don't know how to react to somebody holding them to a higher standard. I think they see standards on social media. You know, I've got to be this handsome or this pretty. I've got to be able to bench press this much, or I've got to wear my hair this certain way, or whatever it may be, and those type of standards. But there's also those pressures are unique. They're different to anything that I had when I was growing up. I mean, I get that, and I'm totally empathetic to it. But at the same time, you got to. There's a lot of that where it's like, well, I've never been told that before, and now I'm 16, 17 years old, and you're telling me that's not good enough? That can't possibly be me, because you're the first one that's told that to me, and now you're going to hold me accountable to it. I think that you have to be, your messaging and how you're going to hold kids to those cultural standards has to be extremely well thought out and put in a way that you're not going to alienate people, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I will also say this, something that I learned later on is just, you need to also prioritize what are the things you want to emphasize. And you can't emphasize everything and just be constantly harping on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when I coached with Rick Ahrens at UTAN for a few years, he would always say, there was always a few things that resonated with me. It was always, you get what you allow, okay, and that's good. But then there was times where, I don't know, he'd just be like, hey, we can't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, finding the line.
The art of coaching.
The line between what do we want to emphasize, you know, and what do we want to hold our kids to? But at the same time, just not constantly being a hammer hitting a nail on every single little thing, and finding that balance. And like, and I know I've was way too much early on in my career with that. And there's times and years and seasons I'm just like, you see seniors like, what? Why are they doing that? And it's just like, okay, so, you know, no, quick note, quick address. Yeah, okay, got to address this. Not sure when I want to do this, but I want to do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it's practice 55, maybe I'm not going to address it this year, but I definitely have a few things in my notes that I'm going to address. You know what I mean? So that's my take.
Yeah,
I agree completely. And that's why it is an art of coaching, because it's day by day and it's season by season, and the groups of kids shift and they ask for different things. And You know, I like to, I just interviewed a kid for a math job, head boys basketball job at Centura, right? And I don't get a whole lot of questions.
Notice I heard you say kid.
He's younger than me, so he's a kid now. Yeah. First job. And I'm still rocking in my first place, but I love it. Yeah. And so I interviewed, and I get one question that I try to add like four more into because, you know, they're interviewing for math, but I still got to find the coach at some point in time. And I asked him to summarize the culture he would want his team to have in one word. You know, in one word. And for me, that's grit. And that's a simple word. It is what it is. But that's how I want my kids to play at all
that's
points
a good
of
question.
Time. Yeah. And he answered with family. And I liked it. And he gave a nice response around it. I thought that was solid. But, I mean, like we've talked about, it's very complicated. But it's our job as coaches to simplify the process and how we deliver it. Because if we've got a list of 12 things, there ain't a coach that's going to be able to rock all 12 of those things every single practice. You're going to miss something. We have day-to-day stuff, too. We're worried about our practice plan or the next opponent. So you got to make it simple for you and make sure that that is always consistent. And I think that message resonates with a lot of kids that you have in your gym.
Right, and I also appreciate that. And this is coming from the books that I've read. And this is where I've made my mistake. If you think you're going to come in as a head coach to a new community and think you have to figure out what it is you want to emphasize, but it can't be everything.
No. Yep.
And you are going to have to adjust to the people and the kids in your community. They are not going to adjust to you.
Yeah.
How Brainerd, Nebraska looks different than Metro Omaha, for sure. Metro Omaha looks different from Sydney, Nebraska.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
There's a difference.
Not a lot, though. You have an apple.
I mean, how long does it take you to get across?
Other callback. Yeah.
How long does that take you to get across town?
Across town? Oh, geez. Depends on if I hit the lights perfect. Yeah. Two lights perfect.
You have lights in town?
Yeah, we have a couple. Okay. I mean, it's no Caro. You guys have, what, one light downtown?
No, none. We have a pump and pantry and a coffee shop.
Yeah. You have a light? I thought on Highway 11, when you head south to Wood River, you have no light there.
There's no light. Okay. Well, if you go way south, like you're going to the interstate, you run into a four-way stop. Yes, there's optional light.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
About it.
See? Yeah. Central Nebraska.
Pass
it
today.
I grew up in Broken Bow, so, you know.
Been on that road. So your one word is grit.
Mm-hmm.
If I had... And I would have to take some time to think about it.
Yep.
I'm going to do it.
But if I had one word that I would want out of my kids, and I love this exercise, Latheon, I would have to, off the top of my head, I would pick between joy or compete. And I would have to take some time and really, if you force me to pick one, and I'm eating up 20 seconds so Tyler Shaw can get ready to give his answer.
Ready.
But I would say... joy or compete. But, you know, you got to have joy. One thing I learned, especially when I was at Scott, I think I ran out of joy. Like, it wasn't joy to coach anymore. But I also think life is about competition, and you got to be ready to compete. You got to be ready. I mean, just nobody give you don't feel good today. Do you think anybody gives a rap a toot about that? No, you got to still come out and you got to compete today. But in order to compete, do you need joy? You know, and so that would be the rub that I would have there. I would have to figure that out. But that would be my one here.
I think I would go with pride.
Like pride.
And the reason I say that is just because if you have pride, you want to do a good job and you want to do it in a way that's, I guess, the right way. And the way, you know, to go back to the, you know, what are our expectations? And I think pride covers a lot of that stuff. Having pride in your community, having pride in the job you do, having pride in your team. And just, I also think having pride just enjoying what you have around you and being very proud of, maybe the, I don't know, the group, the product you put on the floor, the name across the front of your chest.
Yep.
I think that would be, it'd probably be mine if you had, but I would definitely have to think, like you said, it's a great exercise, and I definitely am going to use that, and I'm going to ask my players next year.
How about you? One word.
Relentlessness.
I like that.
Big word.
That's a lot of syllables.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of syllables. Relentlessness.
Yeah, just relentlessness because... the season's long.
It is.
The season's tough. We have to be relentless in every drill we do. We have to compete against one another. in every single drill we do. You got to be relentless on the court, overcome all the adversity. But in a bigger picture, life is hard.
Yeah.
Life is really tough. I mean, I would have had no idea as a 18-year-old kid when I graduated from East Weller High School in 2001, the amounts of relentlessness I was going to need in my life. I mean, it's a PG-13 podcast, but I've been through a lot of crap in my life that have no explanation to why it would have happened. And I had to be relentless or it would have completely destroyed me.
Yeah.
So you just got to be relentless in how it is you attack life and just because adversity is inevitable. It's going to happen.
But you need to have some adversity.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you gotta be able to
help like, enjoy the great things in life.
Unless you are ultra, ultra talented. It's hard to run the table and go through a season undefeated and come down. Like I've been there. It's fortunate enough one time to go through a season undefeated. But when adversity finally hit us, we struggled to handle it, and we didn't have a whole lot of time to figure it out. We had 15 minutes at halftime to figure it out, and that was, you know, and I think sometimes, and this kind of bring us into the summer here. Sorry, but
okay, I'm good now. I had it.
But I think if you feel like you've got a really good team coming into next year, you got to seek out some adversity in the summertime as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like with my team that I had a couple of years ago, I knew we were young. I knew we were talented. And we got off to a great start in the summer. But then my brain started, like, we hadn't been very good for a long time in the community. But we had won 8, 9, 10 games in a row to start the summer. And we were looking pretty good. But I was kind of like, we kind of need to lose. We kind of need to lose a game here. Because I want to see how this group reacts to playing poorly and losing a game and how do we come back for that? So I was sick and twisted thought in the back of your head. I was like, I hope we lose soon because we need to learn something through adversity. And I know, I mean, we've talked off air about some of the things that you've had to go through and losing a basketball game is not comparable to anything like that. But I think as you're getting your summer set up here, you're looking for some opportunities for adversity, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I think so, big time. I mean, we throw them to the wolves at certain camps, and we sign up for hard games and teams we know that are going to be good. Even if we graduate all, you know, 5 starters off our team, I mean, I don't know. I kind of want to see how they respond and, you know, it's not that big of a deal if you get your teeth kicked in. You can learn a lot in a loss. I mean, we've sit here talking on the table, and we've talked a lot about a lot of our, so, hey, when I was young, I wish I would have done this different, you know? You know, and you learn a lot from that. So, yeah, go play. I remember a couple years ago, we played Minden, and they, and, you know, we didn't know anything about Minden, and they at Ogallala, and they kicked our teeth in, and it was a good exercise. And hey, maybe we have some stuff to figure out, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't know everything, and maybe that's one of those deals. Also, a late season loss is not a bad thing, especially if you're very. I mean, I know when you guys went on your run and stuff, were there any losses at the end of your season when you guys won that title that helps you more than anything?
Absolutely. We played, our losses that year were to a Gothenburg team.
Perfect.
It was really good.
Yes.
And they kicked our teeth in when we played them. That was awesome because then the girls responded correctly. We were in and out of the locker room. Practice was phenomenal moving forward. And we played a conference rival, Ravenna, in regular season play, and they beat us. And then we played them again in the conference tournament, and we made adjustments, and we competed our tails off, and we kind of lost one of those gut-wrenchers at the end where a couple calls didn't go your way, whatever. And we had a talk, and we're like, there's a really good chance we're going to see these guys again. They're in our sub-district. They're probably going to make the state tournament. That's our goal. And we saw them in the sub-district play, and both of us had points that were good enough to get you into a district final. We knew that was going to happen. But our girls and their girls kind of competed in a different fashion. We felt like if we could win that game, it was going to give us a huge surge of confidence, and didn't take it lightly. And they answered and won that game. And from that point on, it was a shift on a really good team already.
Your practices in the right became more focused. You were more locked in. Last year we Bridgeport kind of kicked our butts in the sub-district championship, and it was because we were undefeated up that point. It was exactly what we needed. I mean, we had beat Lincoln Christian, and you know, sometimes you're just out west. Your schedule is what it is. You try to schedule, you know, who you can, and we picked up a lot of games this year that I knew were going to be tough. Cheyenne East, Cheyenne Central, those are good teams, but we want to see what you got going on, you know, as the season progresses. And that game against Bridgeport helped us more than anything. I mean, I think our girls came in that next day and were like, okay, we're ready to go now. Because January is a hard month to get through.
It is.
Once you get to February, it's a blur. So it's tough.
And, you know, June doesn't, if I made this mistake as a young coach, like, you feel good winning in June. Like,
it does feel
good. I could
say
we're whatever and whatever in June, but that doesn't matter a lick in November or December. So if I can, you know, I got a couple of kids that play three or four different spots, you know, and so if we're going to play a game at Broca Bow against Sydney at some point in time, and I could put my stretch 4-1, because at some point in time in the regular season, that might happen. If we lose by 6-8, did we grow in that? Yeah. So you've got to mature in that realization, too.
You guys beat us by 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a good win.
It was a good crew.
Yeah.
It was a good crew of kids.
Yeah.
As the great philosopher Mr. Miyagi would say, it's all about balance. And you want to have summers where there's balance. If I have an inexperienced team, a young team, you kind of want to give them some confidence and maybe plan your summers around. Let's go play in maybe a little weaker team camp, build up some confidence. Confidence is the thing we talk about in the wooden pyramid of success. That's important to do. But if you have a really good experienced team coming back, let's go get our butt kicks a little bit. So you'd be like, you think you're there? This is actually where you're here. This is where you got to get to. And if you have a team that's somewhere in the middle, you know, and a summer where you're going to get some wins to build some confidence, but also some where you can get the doors blown off you. So it really is all about balance.
I've been in both places where when I took over at Fort Calhoun, the kids had struggled, you know?
Yeah.
So we, without a doubt, our summer, especially our first couple of summers, was all about, let's just see if we can win a few summer games, let alone just try to win in December, January, February. Let's see if we can just get these kids a little bit of taste of winning in the summertime and have them feeling good, you know? And so we did not go to some of the team camps that I probably would have liked to have gone to or usually would have gone to with a usual team, just because they'd been getting their doors beaten off of them for 3 or 4 years. They didn't need to get their doors beaten off anymore. They needed to just even if we lose by 5, hey, we competed like crazy against Centura or East Butler, whoever we were playing that day. You know,
you're trying to sell your vision, and the best way to sell your vision is give them some confidence.
And there's got to be, when it comes down to, I don't care what anybody says, especially with today's IY generation, there's got to be a tangible thing that they can look at and go, we've made some progress.
Yep.
We've made some progress. Now, I've also been on the other end of that, you know, X amount of years ago, whatever it's been, when I had some great teams at Scutt, we would go and we would seek out Class A schools in Omaha. We would seek out 4A's and 5A's in Iowa to play in the summer because we needed to challenge, you know, the couple of years where we were really, really good, when we were beating, then you can allow yourself to go, okay, hey, if I don't screw this up, we got a chance to do some nice things here next year. Now, you don't let yourself think that way too terribly long, but you do think about that, you know? And so I think it's important that you do look at your summer schedule, look at the people. And a lot of times for coaches, I'll just use a random name, Drew Olson at Concordia, who's a great guy. If you say, hey, Drew, we're going to be a little down next year, don't put us up against Sydney and Centura and East Butler, you know, or whatever. But, you know, those guys will help you because nobody wants to go to a team camp and win or lose by 40. Most coaches want to get better. Now, you got your guys that are tallying up the resume at those places, but, you know, most people are,
we just want to get better, and it does us no good to play somebody that's not worth a toot, or to get our doors blown off, you know.
Great team camp story. And I don't even know if you know this, Coach Plum, but it's how good of a guy Coach Plum is. I take over in Wayne, first time head coach.
I remember this.
We're playing you in the dome up there at University of South Dakota, upstairs. Marty's team jumps out to like a 28-30-0 lead with this press. And then he tells his girls in the first half, like, all right, pick him up at half court. And I remember just being so ticked off. And I looked down at you, the sideline. I'm like, don't you call off that press. We need to learn how to beat it. And you're like, that's okay. We need to learn how to play in the half court, too.
I do remember that. I do remember that.
I was so ticked off. And I called a timeout. I'm like, they are showing mercy to you girls.
Now,
this is not good.
Now I will say, I had one of the best athletes that the state of Nebraska has ever produced at that point at Mamie Conroy. Mamie made me look a lot smarter than I really was. I'm with a bunch of other kids. I mean, we were, but I do remember that. She was all right.
Good.
She was all right. You know, but I do remember that game. I do remember that. And I think
that's something we haven't talked about all the pods we've done together.
I think I also did tell you, this is our first game of 5-game stay or whatever. It's a long day.
Yeah,
it's a long day. We're gonna.
I will also say I learned something in 2013 or 2012 going into 2013 is we had a bunch of track athletes. Sydney usually has a pretty good track team. We have lots of track athletes that were basketball, maybe not their first sport, maybe not even their second sport, but we had these kids that could run and jump and had okay-ish length. And I was like, man, we're going to press with this team. And we pressed all summer, and we pressed and we scored all these points. And then we got into the season and we pressed and we scored all these points. And then all of a sudden, as the season progresses and the team gets a few press breaks under their belt,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you're not scoring quite as easy as you were. And we had spent, once again, another lesson learned mistake. We spent all our time worrying about how to score in the full court off turnovers and things like that, where we get in the half court when it was a half court game, we couldn't. And I was like, man, that was, and we got to the sub district or whatever it was. And I feel like it's changed a million times since I've been a coach, but whatever it was, we got upset by a Gearing team that put together a really good, really solid game plan and just tried to pre-shot clock, just make it slow and gross and disgusting.
Make it into a rock fight.
And we lost 37-35, and we had a three at the buzzer to win it that rimmed out.
That's the best.
And, you know, I mean, like, and then I was like, probably a couple days later, I think I made the realization, man, we won a lot of games this summer. Maybe we should work on half court stuff and mix in maybe a little more variety instead of just nonstop go hard. And ever since then, I've tried to try different things in the summer, even if it maybe evolves into something you're not going to do. So,
yeah. Well, and like we did that 2 summers ago, where it was like, okay, we got all these athletes. They're all healthy finally at that point. And so we did. We sold out on pressure. But again, being seasoned and experienced, I knew this is great in the summer. This is what the culture we want to build around. This is going to be our identity. We're gonna fly around all over the place. We're going to trap, and we're gonna press off of misses and do all of these other things. But again, seasoned and experienced, I know we're going to have to get half-court stops. I know. But in the summer, we could afford it that summer because it was all about building towards the big picture in that regard. Now, 20 years before that, like you're talking about that game there, I was probably more so, this is great. We're going to be able to do this all season long, and nobody's going to be able to handle this. No. You know, the other team's not going to sub 5 in, 5 out. The other team isn't going to have some basic press break. Some team's not going to have the superintendent's daughter in for half the game here, even though she can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
And I was that coach at team camps where, like, I played everybody pretty equally because you wanted people an opportunity to earn a spot. Also, people the opportunity to prove that they can't have a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would also
– I wholeheartedly, I mean – You on board with that, Latham?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am as well. Heck, I usually sub 5 in, 5 out anyway most of the season just because a lot of times you have young kids, if you can afford to, in games like that, just, hey, you guys are going to have to be players in a few years or even right now this year. So,
yep. Never know. But,
yeah. And then I like what you said where it sometimes shows them that they don't earn that spot. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
So and that leads me to the next question, not to steal your podcast, but if you got some – and I've ran into this, I don't know if I call it a problem, but like a way of thinking, like I have seniors coming to this year and I know they're not in our top five. And I kind of somewhat need this to justify and prove my point. How much do you play them in this summer? If you know they're going to get beaten out, do you allow them to just let it develop? Or what's your guys' philosophy?
Organically, it typically happens, right?
It does.
You have that in season. You'll have a kid that.
Oh, but you know you're going to have a problem if you're not playing the senior.
Yep. You know those seniors will bring an issue. I've been fortunate that typically my seniors have been formidable to some degree so far in my career. There's definitely been a few that they didn't get to play as many minutes as they would like to. But, you know, you got a kid, she scored 8 points in the JV game, you know, she should get some varsity minutes. I'm like, we're talking about pressure. Well, I run a full court 2-2-1 back to 2-3 a lot of times, and her foot speed's not quite great, so it doesn't quite mesh. And just so happens that two of the girls ahead of her are 32-minute players in the same position.
And that junior's playing against freshmen.
Yeah, correct. So it's kind of obviously you have to have that worth all, but people in the stands,
they don't.
Rose-colored glasses, man, and they're thick at times. They are thick.
My very, very good friend, Matt Turman, who got this from his father, Tim Turman, who only won 300 and some games
in
football. And this clarified everything. And I put this in as soon as Matt told me this, I put it in my packet and I said it at every parent meeting once I had it. If you feel your son or daughter should be dominating or should be, I'm sorry, if your son or daughter should be playing at the varsity level, then they better be a dominant player at the JV level. And if they're not dominating at the JV level, how do you expect me to move them up to the varsity level?
Yep.
I mean, in two sentences, that's it. You can nip that argument in the bud, bam, in two sentences.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So.
And then, like you said, you have opportunities throughout the season where you can give those kids varsity minutes. Usually, it shows exactly why you do what you do, right? Like, there's a rhyme and a reason to the rotation, who I play, when I play them. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Yeah.
I've had a sophomore come up to me before and say, you started me during the season, but during the summer, I never really got to start at all. I never got the opportunity to like run. And I'm like, that's because I knew, but I had to have justification. I had to have people play their way out of spots and have you play your way. And that just clicked with them. And I know I've had the conversation with players before, like, awesome JV game. Awesome JV game. Incredible JV game. You're never getting on a JV court again. This was graduation day.
Yeah.
Yep. You're now done.
And yeah. That as well.
Yeah. JV is there has to be a graduation day. Like, okay, you're now done. Sometimes that graduation is because you're a junior, now a senior. Sometimes that graduation day is the middle of your freshman year. Like, okay, you've now proven.
Yeah.
You've now proven your worth.
And you're talking about the senior, and usually my thing was, especially with girls, which we're all girls basketball coaches. Sorry, we're 54 minutes into the podcast, and we're just now, officially covering that. But it was always one thing I learned: if you can play the senior, if you can find some sort of role, even if it's for 4 minutes a game, try to find a way.
Yeah.
But you also can't do that for the good of the you can't sacrifice the good of the individual for the good of the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to have a couple of conversations in my career, you know, where the player comes up to me and says their number one bullet point in their argument is, well, I'm a senior. I don't care. No. I'm sorry. That sounds harsh. That sounds bad, but my My job is to play the best players for this team. I don't look at age. I don't look at this. I look at who's going to give us the best opportunity to win on Friday or Saturday night. Whether you're I can't care about how old you are or anything like that. It's not just I'm a senior, I get to play. It doesn't work that way. It's the whole thing. Like I lost a job. I didn't get a job that I wanted. I had a job. Let me be clear. I had a job. I wanted a job. And I kind of assumed because I felt like I was the next guy in line, I should just get the job. It doesn't work. And that was a hard, brutal lesson for me to learn. It doesn't matter your seniority. It's a matter about what you earn. And I sure as heck, when I went through that experience very, very young in my mid to late 20s, I was like, that is never going to happen again. I am going to go into that room and I'm going to force them to give me the job based on what I've done and how I've worked. And I think your players have to think that way. You've got to create an environment where your players have to re-earn that playing time every single year.
Absolutely.
A year older doesn't necessarily make you a year better. You know?
No. What did you do in June and July? Like, if you knew this freshman coming in was nipping at your heels, why was the freshman in the gym more than you? Why was the freshman sacrificing more than you? You know?
And it's hard. It's tough. It's brutal conversations that you have to have. You have to force yourself to have those because, I mean, you'd rather have a problem in November than in March.
Yep.
You know?
I had a great assistant coach who told me one time, never reward a kid for being older, never punish a kid for being younger. And I've lived by that philosophy since then.
Started freshman this year on day one. Didn't even fart around with the JV circuit because it was very evident in the second day of practice that, and the whole team, when they're that good, that makes it really easy then. You're like,
that girl from Milford, you mess around with that? No.
She can dunk a volleyball? Yeah. What are we talking about?
We're not. Yeah. Let's not play this game.
Absolutely.
And it meant someone older than her at the same position had to play less minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, let's not do this.
No,
but we can use you together.
Yeah,
and they end up playing the whole game together.
Yep, and 24 hours from now, they've got a chance to cut down the nets.
Yep,
and that's a memory that they'll always remember.
Absolutely,
you know. So, gentlemen, great conversation. It's an hour conversation that should have been an hour and 20-minute conversation, but somebody can't figure out technology, but. We're all good.
Yeah. One plug.
One plug was all it took.
It's fine.
T. Shaw risked life and limb climbing on bar stools to plug us in.
I did get up there.
And
now,
everything.
I don't need that getting out. I've been climbing on bar stools, so probably at the state tournament.
People yeah.
You'll probably wonder what's going
people
on.
Will
down
there. Yeah.
People will be talking. Yeah.
We'll be talking.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, Nate Wall, Lathion Brown, T. Shaw, thanks so much for your time today, guys. Carter Plum. Went back over. We're a little bit behind time, so we couldn't get the Carter Plum pizza review.
Said it was fire.
Fire.
Yep.
Can we talk about the Mellow Mushroom for a second here?
The Mellow Mushroom.
I'm going to take Carter Plum's job.
You go ahead, Nate. Go ahead.
The one restaurant bar that has survived everything down here. Like, this has been down here since the very beginning. Like,
it really has, actually.
Even across the street, like Longwell's has changed, has a different name, has a different owner, has a different setup. Like, Mellow Mushroom, still going strong.
Good product, good vibes.
Well, watch them stretch the pizza dough over there while you're having a beverage.
I have been eating,
you know, it's mesmerizing.
It really is mesmerizing.
And our guy Mike over there has treated a pen and a napkin so well over the years. So greatly appreciated.
Who's a better dresser, Coach Brown or this bartender right here?
I'm going to throw a third one in here. Weekday Wade Coulter.
Oh, my
goodness. You know, I mean, that's a wild card right there.
He's inspired me to get a turtleneck next year.
I know. Yes, very, yes.
Yeah, we have to get some suede shoes. I don't know. I got to step up the game.
But no, Mellow Mushroom has been, I think we've been doing pods over here since year one. And Mike has been great. I mean, he takes care of us over here. I hope. Now, obviously, you're not going to hear this until the boys' state tournament. This is not coming out till next Thursday. It's Friday, at 145 now. So, but we're just wrapping up here. But if you're in Lincoln for the boys state tournament this weekend, now I'm speaking in the future tense here, check out Mike at the Mellow Mushroom here. They do a great job. Customer service is great. Just everything he's done. And I can't say enough. I can't say thank you enough to Mike for all that he does for A Pen and a Napkin and all that he has done for A Pen and a Napkin over the years. So greatly appreciated there. So I want to thank you guys as well. We're missing out on some basketball. We're going to finish up our pizza here. We're going to head over, and I think it's Millard West and Lincoln North Star that we're probably not going to get there till about halftime, but that's life on the road in the Big Ten. Wear a helmet. And we'll watch the Fighting Mark Krugers and have them get after here. So, guys, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for all that you've done for A Pen and a Napkin over the years. And we'll be back next week talking. We got a portfolio of coaches that kind of waiting for their seasons to end. Here's a little teaser, little portfolio of coaches that have been kind of in contact with, and hey, wait till our season's over here. Some really good collegiate coaches and a couple of professional coaches that might be bringing in here. That
you said portfolio and professional.
That's two P's in the same sentence.
All right.
But we've got some really, really, in the works, talking to some people here, and hopefully we get them on here in the next month or two. And don't forget about the Coaches Clinic on April the 12th in Omaha. You're going to be there. You're coming up.
Depends on if my son's pole vaulting.
Yes. Okay.
I might be in Amarillo.
I'm coming.
You're coming. Latheon's coming. Perfect. So we got a great group of people lined up there. Varsity Prep Academy. Got another announcement. Not quite ready for it yet, but that'll probably be coming here in the next few weeks here with A Pen and a Napkin stuff. So we'll give that another 2, 3, 4 weeks or so, and we'll be talking about that as well. So, again, get down to the Mellow Mushroom if you're in the Omaha area, or I'm sorry, the Lincoln area, and if you're down here for the state tournament. And thanks to you guys again, once again. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day
at a time.